Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Tech Connect podcast. I'm John Martin.
And I'm Dean Reverman.
Pop culture. We're both pretty big fans, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you might be a little bit more into pop culture than I am. Sometimes I'm like that. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, technology and pop culture.
Yes.
You know, we've been watching stuff, you know, movies, TV,
yes,
books over the years. There's been a lot of interesting tech that has popped up. Some of it has come true.
Yes.
Some of it is still way off in the future. Some of it may never happen.
Some inspiring.
That's true.
To some degree.
Very much so.
Somewhere somebody's been inspired, as I think we might get into today.
Right.
Around a little bit of the technology that you see.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, as promised, we are in December now. We wanted to bring out a few fun episodes to end this first year of the podcast. So today we are focusing on technology and pop culture tech. So it's time for us to plug in and get connected.
Welcome to the Tech Connect podcast. It's time to get connected.
All right. So, yes, our topic today, we wanted to do something fun and different, but still have kind of the technology theme that this show's all about.
I don't
know.
It feels like it's feeding our kind of our nerdy, geeky nature.
It is. Well, that was the intent, too.
Okay.
You know, it's really mostly about our fun, right, but we hope that the viewers have some fun as well.
I've run into plenty of people in this channel, and there's a lot of folks that love to get geeky and nerdy about technology.
Well, so let's be honest.
We're all in the same boat here.
We are. And a lot of the technology that we distribute and a lot of the stuff that our customers work with is pretty cool.
Yep.
Stuff that didn't exist even 15, 20 years ago.
That's a really good
stuff
point.
Stuff that was at one point science fiction.
That's a really good point.
That might have popped up in a show or a TV or a movie or something at some point.
Yep.
So,
to that point, I can walk up with my watch that is now a smartwatch and do payments on a little payment terminal. Maybe that was in a movie. I don't know.
If you went back to yourself as a kid and showed them that, you would have been like, yes, that's so cool.
That's so cool.
I can't wait to be a grown up and get to the future.
So it does happen.
And then you'd be like, we're also in the middle of a pandemic. We all have to wear masks everywhere we go and we're stuck in our homes.
Well, there's that too. But
good luck. Enjoy the next few years. Anyway, so I want to talk about, first of all, like, you know, how pop culture influences technology and vice versa, because I feel like, you know, especially when you do go back, when I was actually doing my research for this and starting to go back and think about the times that, you know, technology has appeared in some form of pop culture and has now become an actual reality. A lot of that is, it becomes inspirational. And I don't think we talk about that enough. Where I think sometimes people that, you know, the brilliant people that do make amazing stuff and come up with these genius ideas in part are because they are people that are ingrained in pop culture. They watched the Star Treks and Battlestar Galacticas and Star Wars. And, you know, like they were big into these kind of, you know, science fiction and fantasy things that, you know, expressed, you know, far future worlds and far future technology. And at some point, I guarantee, if you went and talked to some of these people, at some point they said, yeah, I watched, you know, an episode of Star Trek in 1969 and, you know, saw some piece of technology. I thought, that is so cool. I want to make that happen someday. And, you know, here it is now.
Yeah.
I know, like, some astronauts have referenced, you know, Star Trek as being foundational for them.
For me, though, it's harder to connect the dot between what technology has inspired pop culture rather than the inverse.
True.
So for me, it was easier to think of use cases where technology is influencing culture.
Okay.
And so the one that I'll just throw out, like Digimon, which was this little thing that I guess was released in 1999. Okay, so keeping an electronic pet alive was not a thing on anybody's radar at all. But it had a huge influence on a certain part of the population, kids, all walking around trying to keep this little electronic whatever it was alive.
Right.
So there's, you know, technology that I guess somebody wrote the 8-bit code that now keeps, you know, you got to keep feeding this thing, got to keep feeding this thing. Now you have a bunch of kids running around. Yep. I don't know, with some kind of disorder now because they kind of keep feeding thing on their Digimon. So to me, it was a little easier thinking of how technology advancements have influenced a culture.
You are quite right. Well, and I think like gaming, for instance, I think we've talked about this before, like the gaming world comes up with a lot of interesting pieces of technology and the engines that can run games and make them faster and better and smarter and cooler and look more amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that ends up inspiring a lot of other technology, like, you know, whether it's in, you know, an actual film production or television production, you know, the technology that, you know, we start using day to day is, you know, that might become day to day, like VR, for instance, you know,
okay,
like VR is one of those things like that has always kind of been out there in the periphery, mm-hmm. but where are we seeing it the most right now? It's in gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, you see all these ads for the Oculus Rift, you know, and like the stuff that you can plug on your head and play a game. And yet we know that at some point that technology will have a point, you know, a more practical point outside of the gaming world, mm-hmm. that we'll find uses for it in everyday life or in business or, you know, in our normal world.
Someday, right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's getting that start there. And I am always, you're right, I'm very fascinated by the times when something occurs that's, you know, just an interesting piece of technology that someone figures out a way to embed into additional pop culture in the future.
Right.
I guess the like when you mentioned obviously the Digimon thing, that made me think of like Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm.
That was the big app.
Yeah, right. Like everybody's walking around like this with their phone. Right.
Which that was kind of not the beginning of AR.
No.
You know, augmented reality was always a thing.
Fair.
But I think that brought it a little bit more into the mainstream consciousness, this idea of your phone helping project, you know, imagery and things onto, you know, your actual real world, mm-hmm. around you.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're seeing more applications of that where people are realizing like, hey, I can pull my phone out and, you know, point it at something and see something interesting, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's a QR code or maybe scanning. Like, I think it's fascinating when I get I can go for Amazon or whatever. And like I got a catalog, for instance, a toy catalog for Christmas this year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it had the option of I can literally just point my phone at it, open the Amazon app, open their little scanner tool,
mm-hmm.
point it at the, you know, a picture of a toy in the catalog, and it immediately brings it on up, you know,
really?
For me to order. It shows me all the specs, give me all the details.
Boom.
It just like has a bunch of little dots that kind of appear on your screen around that picture.
Huh.
So it's able to understand where that picture is.
Yep.
And pulls it in and finds it in your app and brings up, you know, that product so you can add it to your cart or something.
I'll be damned.
Like stuff like that is just, it's fascinating.
Yeah. So I don't know. And maybe it's this circular thing that people get inspired by technology that they see.
Right.
Produce the technology that then has an influence on the culture of that day.
Definitely.
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, obviously we know that like the smartphone, for instance,
mm-hmm.
I mean, how much of a huge change in our entire lifestyle and culture, business, so many things that has been impacted by the creation of the smartphone alone.
Yep.
You know, just the way we operate every day, you know, how much of our lives revolve around, you know, devices like that, our smartphones and now our mobile devices, you know, it's amazing, you know, when you start thinking about it. One simple device has literally probably changed the history of our planet.
Like, all in one little device.
Yeah. Someday they will be like, you know, a giant monument of like the first iPhone or something somewhere. I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
But so, yeah. So I like that you took kind of the inverse of that. Like I was thinking more about like, you know, technology.
Well, let's talk about the other way. I guess the other way around it, and because I was reading some articles on this, and they referred to Space Odyssey, you know, the movie. Mm-hmm. And I guess I forget the name of the character, Dr. Whatever, in there was there's a shot of him at breakfast, and he has this screen in front of him. And I guess that was because it was shot in whatever, 1960, some late 60s, whatever, somewhere early 70s. But in essence, what he had was a tablet in front of him, which is ubiquitous today.
Right.
But at that time, it's like, whoa, what is this little screen that's in front of him that he's reading?
At least that one, they weren't too far off.
It's not a big CRT TV. What is that?
Right, right. At least they weren't too far off at that point either. I mean, that was 2001 supposed to be, you know, which granted, we weren't, you know, out exploring the cosmos and, you know.
You know, didn't have how.
With a giant monolith, you know, showing up and teaching us all how to evolve. But you're right. But a lot of that technology is here now. And I mean, you know, I think we were probably starting to see touchscreen technology back in 2001. But I know, they were maybe a few years off for being a very ubiquitous technology that everybody is using and everybody is comfortable with. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, can you think of an example, though, where you feel like, and maybe you already did, where pop culture has influenced technology, right? That's the inverse of what I was just saying, where you've got this piece of technology and everybody starts using it, the smartphone, Digimon, whatever, and that is gaming, AR. Now that has an influence on our culture, but what are some examples?
You know,
of the inverse?
I probably should have done a lot more research around that. Like, I looked a lot at like technology that, you know, previously existed only in pop culture and now is a reality.
I see,
but yeah, I yeah, don't yeah, know for sure about, you know, where someone directly saw something and I said, I'm going to make that an actual thing. Yeah. I guarantee it's out there, and, you know, I'm sure there's some examples I'm missing.
But I think it's where we were at the beginning. It's an inspirational thing, right? That, right. I mean, they're, people get inspired by what they see in films and what happens in pop culture, and then, you know, people start dialoguing about, wouldn't that be cool and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was reading another article about this Ontario Science Center. Did you read anything about this? They have a whole exhibit. It's called Popnology, where they have, it's basically a whole whatever, what do they call that? A display where they have examples of how converging technologies have converged between popular culture and current technology.
Right.
And so it's stuff like hands-on robotics, virtual projection games or AR, futuristic music instruments and stuff like that, immersive games, et cetera, et cetera. But what I found fascinating about how they kind of broke up the whole thing is, and this is very intuitive to think about how people in our, how pop culture influences technology and vice versa. They broke it into like four categories of displays. How we play, so that's like one area. Mm-hmm. This is how technology and pop culture immerse or coexist in how we play, how we connect, how we move, and then how we live and work. So those are like big categories.
Yeah.
So, which we've already kind of touched on, how we play, gaming, stuff like that, how we connect, communications, how we move. This is all the transportation stuff, you know, the flying cars that we're supposed to have by now, or the shuttles that can go 5,000 miles an hour and planes aren't needed anymore and stuff like that. How we live and work, again, just showcasing stuff about how you interface with your family or what you do at work and stuff like that. So it was really intuitive to me to think when I sat back and thought about pop culture and technology and how they, you know, blend. Those are really good buckets to put in. How we play, how we connect, how we move, and how we work, basically.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So, that's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting.
That's someplace I'll have to visit someday.
There you go. Awesome. Well, it's just up there in Ontario somewhere. Yeah. I think it's in Toronto.
One of these days and we can travel again, you know.
Oh,
like,
right.
Really travel again.
You know? Damn, that travel thing.
I know.
Shoot.
Okay, so, well then let's, you know, I want to talk about Star Trek,
yeah,
and not just because I'm a Star Trek fan, but because I feel like there's a lot of like classic science fiction and classic genre TV and film that you can look at and see a lot of technology that is here now, you know, that actually did inspire. And I mean, if it didn't directly inspire something, it's something that like Wave actually achieved that.
Okay.
You know, but I think Star Trek is one where there's a lot of examples of it. And I, you know, when I was doing a little research, like there's a plenty of stuff that popped into my head off the top of my head. But then as I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, I'm like, there's so much stuff that was in the original 1960s Star Trek. And honestly, even the Next Generation, like the stuff that came out in the late 80s and into the 90s, that is already very much a reality now.
Mm.
That's, you know, we don't have to wait for the 23rd and 24th century. We already got there.
Mm.
And it even looks cooler and better than it did then. So in Star Trek in particular, I want to talk about some stuff that is already kind of here. Communication devices. If you remember in the original Trek, they had the little flip phone, basically. Yeah.
Yes, it is a flip phone, I guess.
It is legit a flip phone. I mean, we're actually beyond that now. Like, we don't really use those that much anymore. But, like, that was essentially a flip phone. Like, I do remember the first time, like, I got myself a little flip phone, kind of opened it up and being like, you know, Kirk Enterprise, you know, like... Like, come on, you got to do it, right? Like,
maybe their range was a little better because they're communicating with a spaceship that's orbiting.
Yes.
Whereas we're just communicating, but all right,
still,
hands down, the
it was a piece of technology that in 1969, 60s or 66, 67, 68, whatever, you know, those when the show came out, that most people looked at and thought, yeah, that's way off. What, we're not going to get there.
Quick sidebar, what a branding miss from anybody in Star Trek.
Doubt.
Once those flip phones came out, they should have just produced one that, if nothing else, produced that little sound when you opened it.
Oh, I guarantee you there was something that would do that.
Okay.
I promise you somebody had some kind of, you know, little app or, you know.
I mean, I can see Captain Kirk just peddling whatever, the BlackBerry
ringtone.
Flip phone.
Yeah. There, I guarantee there was a ringtone or something around that. There had to have been.
All right. That's legit.
All right.
That's
so
legit.
That one's legit. Yep. Biobeds. You saw biobeds a couple times in the original series as well as like the Next Generation. Not something that's super common, but we do have that technology now where we do have in some higher tech.
Explain the bio bed.
Well, like a bed that you lay down and that actually has like, you know, built-in sensors and screens.
Got
I mean,
it.
If you think about stuff like X-ray technology and, you know, and like some of the high level, like, you know, MRI machines and stuff like that we've reached now, like they can do that. But we also like, there are some like, you know, science hospitals that have started developing you know, beds that basically can do almost all the functions you might need them to do with minimal amounts of extra instruments, you know, that you can pass something over somebody that can, you know, take a quick X-ray and an MRI, can identify, you know, where there's problems.
All right.
You know, if you think about just like the screens, the monitors that we have, like, you know, there was an old episode of Trek I was watching a little while back where, you know, Kirk was getting his physical or something, and like they're looking at readouts on a, you know, on a screen, you know,
on a flat screen, right? Mm-hmm.
Which again was something back then did not exist, exactly. Not a thing, you know. Yeah. Like if you had an X-ray machine, that was probably, you know, super high tech at that point. But you know,
yeah, but
now
it's film
it's
on a
common.
Thing, and,
yeah, exactly. Know, right. Like it's not uncommon for a nice hospital or something potentially to have some kind of screens that are displaying
now,
X-rays.
Wait a minute. If I remember the technology correct, though, I got the biobed, but didn't Bones have like this little thing?
Well, that's the tricorder. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The what?
The tricorder.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is, yeah, we're not quite there with that. But,
we're
again,
like
it's
he's
not
diagnosing.
Super different than something, because they used it for a lot of other stuff. They used it for, like, you know, scanning, you know, like what was going on in a, on a planet or something, you know, or getting,
oh, that's true,
getting signals or scanning, you know, a the composition of the, you know, planet's atmosphere or whatever, you know, if there's alien life.
So that was a pretty powerful little instrument. It did a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
What'd you call it again?
The tricorder. Yeah. Okay. That's what
that's
right. called. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm envisioning when he was, you know, whenever they would bring somebody into the sick bay.
Right.
You know, woo, they're wafting that stuff, that device, or I guess it was a bio.
That is still a little, there's a lot of that that's still a little beyond us, mm-hmm. but some of it is technology that is already here today that we
Fair enough.
Know,
okay. That's legit.
Unimaginable before. View screens. Duh. That was an easy one. I mean, you know, like, I mean, we've lived in the world of Zoom
now,
for most of this year. So
okay,
far.
You're
we
in
get
Star
that.
Trek world still, and I admittedly haven't seen the most recent Star Treks. Do they do, you know, the Minority Report where the screen is
they
not
do.
Really there? It's more
sometimes it's actually still mostly more traditional
okay,
stuff.
Okay, more of it's in a console right. somewhere, and it, or the screen is up.
Right, some of the newer shows have gotten into a little bit more of hologram stuff going on, like where you can see hologram technology, okay. but. Still, you look at most Trek, and you know if someone's sitting on a bridge of a spaceship, they've just got a giant screen in front of them. Yeah. Now, it's not like I think, you know, the modern Trek show, like it's more of like a normal, you know, like port out in front of them they're looking out of,
mm-hmm.
and then like, you know, the screen kind of like the view screen kind of appears
right.
in front of it. It's not like
Which
a built-in screen.
We even have
there.
That technology now, though, right? I mean, it could be a window, and then whoop, it just becomes opaque, and now you're taking a call from your mom.
Yep, exactly.
Or he's always taking a call from some... Klingon, the Klingon ship that's trying to communicate.
I was waiting
with
for
them.
You to like just totally botch the name of some kind of alien species, but you got one. You got it.
You were really hanging me out to dry. That's cool. I see how you are. So anyway, okay, yeah, we got the view screen technology.
So that's a thing now.
Touch
we technology.
Totally got that nailed, by the way.
Touch technology has been a thing for a while. Like you know, like again, like you mentioned, you know, you'd see them using little pads and stuff. Well, even like when you got to like the Next Generation, where like you know. 20 years later when they rebooted the shows and like as they went through like the 90s when they, you know, that renaissance of Star Trek there for a long time when there was a show on all the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, you'd see them using like little iPad type devices. And even now, like I've been rewatching some of those old shows mm-hmm. and I'll see somebody pull one of those pads up and it like when you look at it, it still looks like very old technology compared to what my iPad can do today. Like, theirs has just got like a bunch of like lines and colors on it and everything, you know, and very simplistic buttons
yes,
and everything.
Right.
And you're like, man, we're already way beyond that. At
way
this point,
beyond
you know?
That. Yeah.
Universal Translator. You know, that was always a common thing in Trek. The idea that, you know, like you
doesn't
meet
matter
some
what they're
alien
speaking.
Species
okay.
and you had a device that could help you. And well, our phones all have, you know, like
we're getting there.
I mean, it's not as simplistic as like someone can just come up and talk to you and you understand what they're saying. That was the thing in Trek.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You know, it was always the idea that like if someone was talking to you, you didn't have to pull a device out. Like you inherently heard what they were saying in your native language, even though they never quite explained exactly how that would work. But like, you know, we do have apps now that can very easily translate from one language to another. You know, it's not quite as seamless, but it's still there.
We're getting there. Yeah.
It's a lot easier than it used to be.
All right, fair enough.
Earpieces. If you remember back in the day on the original Enterprise, or Uhura used to always have the little earpiece
yes,
for communications.
Absolutely.
Well, and you can stick an earbud in your ear and communicate and talk that way now too.
Yep.
You know, hands free.
Little Bluetooth thing there. Yeah.
So that was the stuff that I thought of. Like that stuff has already happened.
Yeah.
And then I thought about some of the technology that Trek had that like were nowhere close. Transporters.
We need that.
Now, I don't know if you've heard. I should have looked up the details.
Oh no, you're going to tell me somebody tried.
Some physicists have actually managed to transport a particle. over a very, very short distance, a microscopic particle over a very short distance.
Okay. And by short distance, you mean like inch, millimeters,
like maybe even micrometers or something.
Okay, right? Got it.
So like people are working on how this could work. Now,
this is bizarre.
This is still something that I think we'd probably be thousands of years away from, you know, transporting people or stuff around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
mm-hmm.
see that happening mm-hmm. anytime soon. Mm-hmm. But there are people out there, and you got to think those people were probably inspired by this idea that, you know, are looking at this and thinking, like, we got to see what we can possibly do around this.
Do you think we could handle transporters? I mean, no. You know, I mean, just think about what that would unlock, even if it was just kept to this Earth. But right. you could suddenly transport yourself wherever there's another device. But, I mean, just travel would be revolutionized, oh, yeah. I guess. Yeah. I mean, right? It would be good for the environment, assuming a transporter is good for the environment.
It runs on coal.
If it needs gigatrigawatts, then maybe not so much.
But transport just, like, you know, wipes a country off the map somehow, you know?
So assuming that that doesn't take place, right. I mean, transporter would be awesome, dude. I mean, that would be like, yeah, everybody would want one of those. It would totally be a game changer. Yeah. And I mean, it would just break down a lot of barriers on countries. And I mean, I don't know. Like anything, good
supply
and bad
chain,
would come from
imagine
it.
How much supply chain
oh, I'm
would
not
change,
even thinking of that. Know? I'm just thinking about people moving. But yeah, like it's produced here and we're going to transport it over to wherever.
Yeah, like, hey, there's an emergency. Like, you know, such and such, you know, Florida just got hit by a hurricane. And like we need, you know, thousands of supplies of this and that or whatever. There it is.
Yeah.
It's waiting for you.
Done.
You don't have to get a whole bunch of people to load it onto a truck, send the truck down there, figure out how the truck can get where it needs to get to, unload everything, get it to the people you need it. No, you just beam it right to them.
Well, I mean, we need people working on the transport.
Why do you think the future of Star Trek is like considered like a utopian society, basically?
Yeah, I guess so.
They have the technology to make that easy.
They figured all this stuff out. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. What's another one?
Yeah, warp technology, obviously, faster than light travel.
Of course.
To be fair, you know, I had a thing in here later that we'll talk about of like what kind of technology we think is never going to happen. And that's one.
You know? There's a lot of scientists working on that.
Physics as we understand it today.
And that's your issue.
But you're right. Exactly.
That's your
issue. As we understand it today, it's a big no.
It is a big
no. Doesn't mean that, but again, it's one of those things not going to happen in our lifetime.
No, it won't happen in our lifetime, but what I'm hesitating at is maybe I feel like science is evolving so much on that front.
True.
That maybe we'll have a different understanding in our lifetime. Not that we could do anything about it, but we might have a different fundamental understanding of physics as we understand it today.
Not to go down the super nerdy, super science physics rabbit hole, but I think what you're getting closer to is the idea of maybe like folding space, as they refer to it, or like wormholes, you know, like stuff where you can, you know, find a way to basically take a shortcut between two spaces, not necessarily like something that lets you just fly there real fast.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. So. Yeah. Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's the whole space-time.
If we did get to it, it won't happen. It won't be anything like we've seen in pop culture, probably. Yeah. Or at least not that pop culture. Maybe
where it's like zooming through space.
You're not going to be in a ship where like the stars are zipping past and you're like, warp 10, you know, like it's not.
And then it just stops on a dime where you need it to stop.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like that, man, can you just like the complexities of like inertia alone, overcoming inertia alone would make that almost a nightmare to figure out.
Does that really exist in space? I don't know. Hold on. So if you're not in gravity, do you have to worry
about
that?
But what about your? Well, that's a great question. You know, there are literally entire books.
Oh, I'm sure.
Written about the physics of like Trek and Star Wars and stuff like that.
People,
And I guarantee someone's probably thought that you're right because like inertia is a different thing, but yet would that matter? Though, but what about when you're inside a ship that has artificial gravity?
Right.
Doesn't that create inertia still?
Fair.
Like, wouldn't you go, you know, and just splatter against the view screen when you stopped?
Okay. But maybe there's a switch that turns off the gravity when it goes into warp drive. I don't know.
You're right.
Apparently these people have it figured out already.
Like I said, how awesome would it be, like, your job is to be, like, a person who just looks at all the physics of pop culture and understands how it may or may not work and what it is and isn't reasonable.
Puts holes
like,
in it. Yeah.
How much fun would that be? Yeah.
Okay. But I'm going to throw one at you before you move on off this topic. You know, because I was thinking about, you know, all the technology and Star Trek and stuff like that. Or do you have more of them, by the way?
The only other one I had was replicators was the other big one.
So what's a replicator?
That was what they used to... Now, traditionally, it's always been used for like food replicators, where you could a device like a box in the wall, and you walk up to it and say, "I want steak and mashed potatoes," and it just materialized.
We're there
for you.
We're there.
Kind of.
Because I brought up the 3D chicken nugget printing.
Right.
I guess I could walk up to a machine and say, give me some chicken nuggets in the form of.
You're right. You could. I guess like the thing is with that, like you have to have some kind of protein base or some kind of.
Oh, but the replicator can do anything?
The replicator just like, I don't know what it made it from. That's something.
Could it make food? Could it make a gun? Could it make?
Yes.
It could make,
they weren't allowed to make guns with it. Like you could make something with firing parts or whatever. There was always restrictions. But like, yes.
Clothes.
You could make stuff. Yeah, any stuff. Yeah, you could make clothes, for instance, or whatever. And again, you're right. 3D printing is.
Maybe this is just
close to where we're getting. And it's one of those things, I look at that technology, I'm like, I don't see that being something that's super far off.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not here. Mm-hmm. I could see us figuring out ways to do it, and I think that what we're doing with 3D printing is kind of the starting point of that.
Yeah, and I guess what's unrealistic about the replicator is the amount of material. It doesn't matter. Well, I don't know. I guess you'd have to think that through. The amount of material you would need behind the scenes to be able to replicate whatever it is you're trying to replicate.
And when you were done, you could also have it de-replicate too. Say you didn't finish your meal, you stick it back in there and just dematerializes back away again.
Oh, okay. That's on a totally different
level. So like it's basically like an
engineer and a reverse engineer.
Well, that and like it's also like you basically are, you have to draw from a pool of some sort of energy that is inexhaustible in some way.
Mm. Okay.
Because if you have
that's antimatter.
If you have thousands of people that are, ordering up something and then can send it back again, you have to and there's no cap on how much you can replicate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It
starts getting a little bit over my head there.
I forgot about the replicator. What genius technology that would be.
No doubt.
I mean, just those three things alone, our world would be so much better, so
go.
Much different.
Anyway,
okay, where I was going was, what's intriguing to me about pop culture, sci-fi, and I know what I'm going to say here is, I am intrigued by Elon Musk in our reality and the Neuralink, right?
Right,
connecting...
Right.
Technology literally to your brain to do that. I know there's instances of that, right?
In pop culture,
but it doesn't seem as ubiquitous as I might think it would be. I mean, because that is like the ultimate, a lot of this technology is physically limited to, or as we're riffing about here, it's like limited to our physicality.
Right.
But tapping into your neurological and then being able to become superhuman off of that, whether it's mentally, physically, whatever. I don't know. Maybe I'm not that much into sci-fi technology that there's a lot of that going on.
There's a decent amount of like.
I'll put it this way: none of the headline shows that I've seen, big movies, blockbusters, seem to get into that part.
And I wonder if it's just because it's something that's just not fun to show.
Maybe. Like, okay, fair enough. Right.
Like just to have somebody walk up and say, hey, I got a thing in my head that lets me do stuff.
I mean, if I could just think replicator and then boop. Maybe it just doesn't make great TV.
Yeah.
I want to be in California, I don't need a transporter. I'm just, I just think it. My Neuralink thing is already connected to a transporter and I'm there.
I guess that's almost more in the realm of superheroes, people with telepathy or telekinesis,
Okay, so there's a fine line here, right? Because I guess that would be like Wolverine and what do they call those?
The X-Men, yeah.
Yeah, but the people that they're called that have those
mutants.
Special technologies.
Mutants.
Mutants, yeah. Thank you. That's like the ultimate blend between tech, some of these
Where
things.
For them, it wasn't necessarily tech, it was...
It's not.
It's something they were born with. It's a genetic,
But getting back to you, and one of the things I had, like your bio bed type of thing, or the ability to be able to heal yourself like Wolverine could.
Right.
I mean, you could go into a unit or some kind of bio bed and it's going to diagnose and also fix you, or you could just happen to be Wolverine and you can just fix yourself.
Well, that's where you get into stuff like nanotech, though.
Fair.
The idea of nanotechnology is like that someday we could all inject, millions of little robots into us that are just running around repairing shit all the time and keeping us healthy, keeping us young.
How cool would that be?
If you did get cut or something, like millions of these little bots would just get there and start sewing you up.
We got people working on that?
Oh, yeah. That is future tech that will be here sooner than we think. Like, you start getting into some weird ethical dilemmas concerns about, what if could you hack into someone's nanotech, and have it rip them apart just as easily as put them back together?
So much complexity.
Anyway. All right. So I want to also let's shift and talk a little bit about some other tech that is now real.
Yep.
And I found like a couple interesting lists of like technology that existed in pop culture and is now a real thing. So wearables, for we already talked about that.
Yep.
You saw them back in the days of like Get Smart, James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was always a spy show thing. The
Tracy.
Super watch, Dick Tracy,
the
yes,
original
the communicator
yeah,
watch.
Right? Yeah.
Back to the Future had them too. Back to the Future 2. That was one I actually was surprised like when I went through it. And like, because we always talk about how we all want the hoverboard and the mm-hmm. you know, the actual time traveling DeLorean, but there was a lot of tech in Back to the Future 2, which took place mostly in 2015. That we were already here. Like they had like heads up displays, like, you know, that you could watch TV on and take phone calls on or whatever. He had, you know, there were smartwatches. I'm trying to think if there were other ones. Virtual assistants, you know, some of that kind of stuff that popped up in that movie.
I'm going to have to go back and watch that movie. When was it released? Do you remember? In the 80s, right?
No. Well, it was either late, very late 80s or early 90s.
Marco, we need to know.
Because they put out 2 and 3 back to back. Because they filmed them together. I want to say maybe 89 and 90.
Okay. All right.
The first one was probably like 83, 84 or something like
Back
that.
To the Future 2. Let's see here. And survey says 89.
Yeah. I think it was 89, 90. Those two came out back to back. So yeah.
So, but that was set in 2015, you're saying?
When he travels to the future, it's
right.
2015.
2015.
Right. Because there was a big to-do in 2015.
Oh, right.
Marco's got an
85 and 89.
85 and 89. There
okay.
You go.
For 2 and 3? Or for,
no, for
one
and two.
One and two. Okay, yeah, that's what we said. So 2 was 89. That's what we thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like there was, you know, there was a big to-do in 2015, like, hey, what tech is here from Back to the Future? Like, we don't have hoverboards. And then somebody showed off a pseudo hoverboard kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That they created. Virtual assistants, like I said, that's something you've seen in so many films over the years where somebody talks to, you know, the computer. You mean, like, you know, on Star Trek, you know, they talk to the computer on there all the time.
We're just not there yet, though.
We're not
I mean,
to that
Siri,
extent.
Siri, but, you know, Siri lets me down a lot. You
well,
know,
true,
I mean,
I agree.
It's not a virtual assistant in quite the way that we want them to be.
But still.
I think we're ready for
we're
a virtual
assistant.
I think our
are.
Culture is definitely ready for some virtual assistants
oh, yeah.
that's just not there yet.
Yeah. But, you know, we're still kind of there. Robots, obviously, we have robots.
Yep.
You know, they're
yep.
not, you know, they're not as complex as a C-3PO or R2-D2 mm-hmm. or, you know, or... You know, but you know, we have a lot of robots that can do a lot of cool things that you saw in science fiction years ago.
I got to think that in the next, seriously, and then like in the next 5 years, robotics is going to be a lot more a part of our, what I'll say, daily life. Just because of the way that, you know, what we're tapped into and what we see is happening in this industry, it's just, it seems not too far away. Like I'll go Jetsons and the robot that mm-hmm. was the maid robot. Mm-hmm. The very
which,
stereotypical.
You know, there's a Roomba, which is kind of the same thing. Just,
yeah, but
just isn't sassy.
Yep. but I mean, I don't really think, what was her name? Does anybody remember what the name of the robot on Jetson?
Alice?
Rosie.
Rosie. You're right.
God, way to go, Marco.
Nice work.
So I don't think we're that far away from a Rosie. You know, somebody who's like a little assistant that's driving around, at least doing some of the, yes, menial tasks, vacuum,
right.
stuff like that. But also, you know, I don't know, maybe change a light bulb. Maybe we'll get
pick up
someday.
Things, take out the trash or something.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I don't think
yeah,
we're that
that's
too
far
away from it.
Autonomous vehicles, we've talked about this in the podcast before. We're not as close as we'd like to be, but the technology is still happening. You know,
yep.
like you've seen plenty of movies and TV shows over the years where somebody climbed into a car and took them somewhere on its own. They didn't have to actually drive it. We're
yep.
getting there. That
yep.
will be a thing, but sooner than later.
Yeah.
VR and AR, we're obviously already there. We still used to see a lot of that. Surveillance.
Oh, by the way, real quick on the VR and AR, I think it's even better today than what they were being portrayed in, you know, back in the past. I mean, some of that stuff is unbelievable right now,
yeah.
what we can do in there. And it's much more higher definition, more complicated. Anyway,
I think for some reason what popped into my head was, do you remember the movie Lawnmower Man?
No.
It's this awful movie from mid-90s, maybe.
I'm going to look it up as you're talking about it. Okay,
Jeff
Lawnmower
Fahey was in it,
Man.
It's based on a Stephen King story.
Okay.
And it's about a guy, a scientist who takes like a simple man and
oh.
plugs him into some artificial intelligence experiment
little
or whatever.
Tron like here. Does
yeah.
He,
and so right. like he kind of like gets command of like, you know, this AI VR type world or whatever. But there was a lot of like VR type exploration stuff in there that just looks so hideously bad compared to what we have now, you know. And granted, maybe that was supposed to be set in that time, but you know.
Well, that was made in 92, so,
yeah, so right,
you know,
yeah.
maybe a little cutting edge.
It was
okay.
probably high tech then, but like now, yeah. you just look back on it and you're like, man, this is bad.
It looks kind of Tron-y though, you know, in some of the.
It
some
very
of the,
much does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Okay.
Surveillance. I kind of wanted to touch on that a little bit because, you know, you had concepts like Big Brother and, you know, like, mm-hmm. You know, surveillance states and, you know, mm-hmm. and, well, even Minority Report. We talk about Minority mm-hmm. Report and this idea of, you know, like being able to, you know, predetermine whether someone's going to commit a crime. A lot of that kind of technology and a lot of that, a lot of the potential usefulness, but also a lot of the scariness and, you know, infringement on rights, you know, privacy rights or whatever of that is something that is kind of already here now.
Not kind of.
Well, is here now, dude. And yeah. is only growing and is, you know, and only potentially getting worse. I think, you know, I referenced earlier about gaming being a place where like a lot of cool technology happens, but you know, government and military, mm-hmm. you want to talk about places that are hotbeds for new technology that suddenly becomes a thing, you know,
sure.
10, 15, 20 years later that always everybody
been that
uses,
way, though, yeah. Yeah.
You'll find it often starts in those places.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, getting back to the surveillance and it, maybe not so much here in the US, although yes, I know, you know, a lot of people were worried about that, but I'm seriously, that technology is being used right now in China and in nations like that where you're getting facial recognized. Yep. They know what's going on, where you are. That is here, and it's a little bit scary what it can do already today,
right?
From that kind of a standpoint, yeah.
And like I said, it can be very, very useful. It can be very handy in many ways, but it can also be extremely dangerous when used improperly.
It's just one of those things that I think our society is going to be wrestling with for quite some time.
Oh
now,
yeah,
now that technology is there. But going back to where you were on the military and stuff like that, I've always been a fan of NASA. I know that, you know, that's one of those things that. People can argue, do we invest in this type of technology when there's, you know, other things that need to be invested in, whatever, whether it's food, whether it's shelter, whatever. I've always been a fan of that because of the spinoff technology that happens mm-hmm. through something, a program like NASA.
Right.
Of course, the military, their means and their goals are different, but a lot of technology does spin off of that as well.
Yeah,
which
definitely.
I guess you would if you throw, you know, that many billions of dollars at something, you know, technology is going to come out of
right,
it.
Right, right.
But the simple fact of the matter is those can be drivers for some of our technology.
Yeah, definitely.
GPS wouldn't exist unless we had, you know, those satellites up there.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
So I want to wrap up this little section about the tech that became real with a quote from the movie The Cable Guy. Do you remember this film? This is a
yes. I remember the film. I can't quote it verbatim, but yes.
Well, I couldn't either. Like I literally came across this quote. All right. Will admit, like it's not a movie I've seen in a very long time. It came out in 96, but I did enjoy it. It was for anybody who doesn't know, The Cable Guy is a Jim Carrey film. Back when he was blowing up, like for Ace Ventura and stuff,
yes.
You know, where he was this superstar comedy star.
Printing money, whatever
right.
he did, he was.
He did this odd little dark comedy called The Cable Guy, which stars him and Matthew, what's his last name?
McConaughey? No.
No, the guy from Ferris Bueller.
Oh,
why can
yeah,
I not
okay.
think of his last name?
Right.
Anyway, like, but they star together, and Jim Carrey plays a cable guy who gets a little too obsessed with one of his customers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, towards the end of that film, there's a point where he says, this is the quote, "Soon every American home will integrate their television, phone, and computer. You'll be able to visit the Louvre on one channel or watch female wrestling on another. There's no end to the possibilities." And in 96, that probably sounded like, wow, that's whatever, dude. This was because this dude's supposed to be crazy saying this.
Right.
And you look at it now, you're like, well, yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Nailed it. That's the Internet of Things. He's talking about the Internet of Things, you know, and talking about, you know, like, you know, the multitude of pop culture, you know, and the multitude of, you know, channels and streaming services where you can tap into anything and see anything you want anytime, anywhere.
Okay, I'm going to sidebar here real quick because I think you're going to have a lot more knowledge on this than I am. And by the way, there's Matthew Broderick
who you were trying to think of. I can remember that.
Yeah. Okay, so I've heard, and I don't dip into this part of, I call it conspiracy theories, whatever, that there are certain shows that are known for having called future events, like
The Simpsons.
The Simpsons,
yes.
I guess that's the most iconic one where,
but you know, when you've been on for that damn long, you have to get something right.
Well, I mean, so in seriousness, I mean, you like I said, you probably know a lot more about this than I do. Is there any truism to some things like, okay, this is just a fluke that the Cable Guy movie,
right,
you know,
right.
they did that, but have there been instances where, you know, these shows really did call something that came to life what would have been the future at that point in time?
Okay, well, there's a show that's kind of modern, but Black Mirror on Netflix.
All right.
Which is all about the horrors of technology, kind of.
Like, okay.
It's the kind of show you watch and you want to put your phone somewhere in a, you know, buried in the ground somewhere, like when you're done.
Gotcha.
But it's all about this idea of, you know, technology that we take a next step forward and it gets a little scary and bad things can come out of it and it can ruin our lives in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the show's only like maybe 5-6 years old, like that it's been on, and they put out some new seasons from time to time, but there's already been stuff in that show that has become a reality. One of them in particular, which relates to the Chinese thing we were talking about, mm-hmm. there's an episode called Nosedive. which is all about a young woman who, in this future world or whatever, everybody is on some kind of social app where you can rate interactions with other people. So every time you meet somebody and you have an interaction, whether it's, you know, at a restaurant or a grocery store,
they're
or
doing
just,
that in
just
China.
Your neighbors, you can go to your phone and like it'll pull their profile up and you can give them a rating between like 1 to 5.
Yep.
And that rating determines who you are in society and what you have access to, what kind of job you're allowed to have.
Oh,
and like,
damn.
Like, and she basically, the premise of this episode is she has a very bad day where like she constantly keeps getting pinged down and like loses her mind as it goes along and like is constantly getting knocked down to a low level, gets, you know, like, you know, gets kicked out of a friend's wedding or something like that because it gets so bad, you know, loses her job. Like, that is something that is happening in China. China set up a social rating system for their people that, you know, can determine what kind of jobs you can have, what kind of roles you can have in society, whether you're allowed to have access to certain things or be able to pay certain amounts. I don't know how widespread it is yet, like if it's really is influencing their society that dramatically yet.
Right.
But it happened. It was just a couple years after that episode came out.
I'll be darned.
That I remember.
See,
reading
I wonder
about
if that was like influence, if they had insider information that was going to start
Could
happening
be, yeah.
or whatnot. But what I like, what I was thinking of as you were talking is, isn't it nice that we can use film and video and shows like that as a therapy to, as a society, to take a step back and say, is this really where we want to go? I mean, I would land on no. I don't really want to go there where I've got an app now that I'm rating everybody that I come into contact with, and that has an influence on the rest of what? No,
yeah,
we don't want to go there.
No.
Do we really want to go there? We don't want to go there.
No,
okay, but are you aware of, like, did The Simpsons really get it right, or is that just conspiracy theory?
I mean,
wasn't there one like you saw a picture of 9/11 on the wall or something like that? Or is there are
I don't
these just
that.
Things that you see on the internet and now it's.
I don't remember. Actually, now that you just mentioned it, you mentioned the 9/11 thing. I came across, while I was researching this, an article about the awful movie of Super Mario Brothers. The Super
they
Mario
made
Brothers
a
movie.
About
yes.
Super? Okay.
It is terrible. It's a horrendous movie. But apparently there's
well,
a scene.
Say, I'm going to look it up while you're talking.
There's a
so
scene toward the
it.
End of that movie. And this movie came out probably early 90s. I mean, when Nintendo was huge and Mario was huge. And there's a scene apparently. I do not remember any of this movie hardly at all. There's a scene towards the end where, like, reality's breaking down, and there's a moment where you see the Twin Towers, like, collapse.
Really?
Or, like get look like they've been damaged and are, you know, falling apart or
uh-huh,
something.
Uh-huh.
And, like, and that was something that people look at, like, look, you know, but again,
okay,
all you right. know, whatever.
So you're not aware of any of this?
I mean, I'm sure you. There's a million people that could find you
conspiracies,
a million cases.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, and you're right, The Simpsons does. And there was an actual article about that that showed a timeline of The Simpsons over the years. And, like, there's a great article you can find that shows this massive timeline and shows you, like, here's when the Simpsons episode aired. Here's when the thing actually came to
gotcha.
Be.
Gotcha.
But the point the guy made in it is this show has been on for 30 years now.
Yeah.
And has had hundreds of episodes. They were bound to get some stuff
some
right.
stuff right. Yeah. Right.
You know,
even a blind squirrel finds a nut every
yeah,
now
it's
and
the
then.
Whole monkeys, you know, 100 monkeys on 100 typewriters will, you know, at some point write, you know, Shakespeare, you know, like that kind of thing, you know.
So going back to your Super Mario Brothers movie, Dennis Hopper was
was
Bowser.
He was the bad guy. Yes, he was Bowser. And he did not look like a dragon at all, by the
Bob
way.
Bob Hoskins was Mario.
And then, John Leguizamo was Luigi, wasn't
yes,
he?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Look at you. You're just an infinite.
Jeez.
Yeah. There you go.
What an awful, awful film.
Next topic.
All right. I want to wrap things up with two. Well, I had on here, let's talk about tech that's not going to become reality. I feel like we've already kind of covered that. The only thing we didn't really talk about was flying cars.
Right.
I don't know that I see that happening, at least anytime soon. If we're not even really close to everybody being able to drive, ride around in autonomous vehicles, why would we be bothering with flying cars at this point?
Okay. I had that on my list too. I just don't think, I don't see that becoming a reality anytime soon. And in the way it's portrayed in movies where everything is very, I mean, not only can the cars fly, but everything, well, maybe actually this part is a little bit more believable. I mean, like there's highways in the sky and it's just lines
that's
of
another
vehicles
Back to the Future too
crisscrossing
yeah,
and doing
yeah.
that. I can actually see that happening, I guess. That doesn't seem a quantum leap to have the technology that can arrange the transportation so that nobody's running into one another and stuff like that. But yeah, the flying thing, not happening.
Well, but to me, that's also a thing like, I don't feel like you get to flying vehicles that everybody's riding around in until you have them all be autonomous.
Right.
I don't want someone controlling. I can't stand most people that are driving on the road now.
Right.
That are completely unable.
There's
to
no
do
way
so
I'm autonomous and Marco is putting the pedal to the metal and flying through
right.
with just reckless abandon right. through what is otherwise a structured transportation system.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. But I did want to kind of talk about what are some of our favorite films, TV yep. shows that have cool, interesting, exciting tech. Dean, I'll let you start with this. And what are some cool things that you've always enjoyed the technology in?
Well, so I read this a little bit differently. You know, some exciting tech that is in some of these shows existing.
Okay,
so
fine.
I'm going to go with The Predator,
ooh,
which is a movie,
one.
Right? And the active camouflage technology.
Yeah.
So the ability, I mean, I don't know, it just turns a little thing on its wrist and vroom, he just
yep.
disappears. And it's like active camouflage.
And to some
he
extent,
just turns into whatever environment
I think
it
that's
is in.
Kind of real to some extent, not where like you can literally just like not see someone, but like there is camouflage that soldiers can use that like basically camouflages them from any kind of radar, any mm-hmm. kind of mm-hmm. You know, heat sensing equipment or whatever. Like I think that does exist, but like yeah, flat out like
camouflage
literally blend into your background.
Because when you think about a technology that I think most people would think would be very cool, it would be the ability to go invisible.
Right.
And so if I'm wearing like a suit that I can flip a switch and then now all of a sudden you can't see me from whatever vantage point you're in.
Right.
I mean, who hasn't had that dream where I'm invisible and
right.
I'm walking through
right.
my classroom when I was
right.
whatever, 8
or
years
I'm robbing
old.
A bank.
Yeah. And I'm kicking the kid that used to give me a hard time on the on the playground or whatever it is. I mean,
sounds personal.
I actually didn't have that dream, but you get the point.
Right. Okay.
But I mean, everybody, so that would be kind of some cool technology there.
Yeah.
So a show, I guess, that I'll have to go with is anything Bond.
Yep,
or
that was on my list, too. Yeah.
I mean, just anything in a James Bond movie. I'm a guy. I admit it. I get, you know, I just love. The only reason why I'm watching a James Bond movie is to see what kind of technology the Q and the team comes up with. And it's.
Yep.
And what I really like about it is that it's not so outlandish.
It right.
does seem plausible that I could have a pen that could whatever. Yes, it's
fire
got ink
dart
in it,
or something,
but it's going to fire a dart and with amazing accuracy and whatever. Or I want a car that has machine guns that are very accurate too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yep. Anything Bond, I would say,
is
any technology in there.
That was definitely what I had on my list. And I also include Mission Impossible there, which is kind of,
that's fair.
You know, another type of Bond sort of. But there's a lot of awesome tech in Mission Impossible movies as well that I love.
We've talked Star Wars, so I'm just, those are, that's table stakes,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And we're going to do a whole episode on that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Minority Report, I have to reference Minority Report again because...
Because it's this podcast.
The unofficial film of the Tech Connect podcast,
right.
That we've referenced so many times over this year that we've been recording, but that's one that has a lot of very fascinating technology that's also not super far off or unrealistic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one I want to mention is something maybe it's a little lesser known to a lot of people. There was a TV show called Fringe that was back in like the mid-2000s. Marcus shaking his head. I'm always glad to know I find somebody actually knows this show. It aired on Fox, fairly little known, and it got a 5-year run mostly because J.J. Abrams produced it and directed some of the early episodes.
Okay.
And this was him coming off of Lost at the time, or while Lost was still running.
And that
I
was
think.
So huge.
Right.
So, I was a Lost fan.
Right.
I was Lost in Lost.
So
he could
do anything. Like,
yep.
This is one of those little shows. Like Fox has always been notorious for canceling great science fiction shows, like not letting them run very long, just butchering them and canceling them in no time.
Yeah.
So this was one I had low expectations that it would stick around, but it surprisingly made it through a full 5 years and told an entire story. So Fringe starts off very much like an X-Files type show about these two investigators, this woman from the FBI who teams up with a kind of mad scientist who's not mad in the sense that he's a bad guy, but more of like he's got some mental health problems and he struggles with, keeping things together, but he's a brilliant man. And his son, who kind of is his keeper and helps out or whatever to kind of, keep an eye on things and keep him under control. And they get together and investigate like science-based mysteries.
No.
And so the first season of the show is very much X-Files-like, where every episode is a new piece of science-based mystery. And there was a lot of awesome stuff, and there was some very cool tech that came out of that. But then as you get on, the show takes kind of a pivot into the second season and on the way through, where you get into this whole, like, a war that starts brewing with an alternate dimension.
Hmm.
And I won't want to get into too much specifics or give any too much spoilers here, but I love the show. It's amazing. I don't know if it's really streaming anywhere right now. I think the last I saw was, like, IMDb TV or something. It's a shame that it's not readily available for people to find. But there was some interesting, like, nanotech came up in a few episodes of that.
Okay.
They had some interesting takes on time travel.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't spend too much time on it, but there were some very interesting, unique.
That seemed plausible?
Well, that's the thing. This show was very much built on science. Like,
okay.
They legitimately brought in, like, real scientists and real people to, like, you know, could help them craft something that is very plausible based on what we understand about science today, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. which is, I always love that. Always fascinating. And then one other little piece of technology they used, which I thought was really cool, and I think it was in the alternate dimension that you spend some time in, is a technology they called Amber, which was what they used to, like, in that world, I think it was to assist whenever, like, rifts were opening up into another dimension to, like, close them off.
All right.
And if you think of Amber, like, the Amber that we find dinosaur remains and bugs and stuff stuck in, you know, the resin from trees, when it solidifies and becomes fossilized, we call that amber.
Right.
Well, they had developed a kind of technology where you could, like, basically, like, spray a version of that and it would solidify and like keep something contained so that, like, these extra dimensional, you know, incursions couldn't open up any further and destroy the world.
Got it.
And it was just one of those things. There's a lot of other cool technology they use, but it was one of those things I'm like, that is so cool. Like, that's a nifty, cool idea that I had never seen before.
I want to be a writer on that show.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it. If you can find Fringe, it's moved around a few times. I actually think I've still got all of it on Blu-ray, if anybody has a Blu-ray player anymore. But I highly recommend it. Great show. Cool tech, you know, and a very science-based, smart science-based kind of, you know, fictional show.
That's pretty cool. All right. So before we close the book on this chapter, because I researched a little bit on this one too, I'm going to throw another one out at you. Did you watch The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
You know, I've read two of the books, but I never watched the movie or the series, like the BBC series.
I think I watched the movie a long time whenever it came out. But anyway, they in an article I was reading, they did point out one technology that was in that, and it was called the point of view gun, where you could change the person's point of view to your point of view by doing that. And of course, there's this whole scene where she goes through that whole process. Right. And then that's a pretty damn cool piece of technology. Like, you're in an argument, you know, we're just going to end this argument. I'm going to shoot you with the point of view gun. You're going to see it from my point of view. And they talk about how it was developed by housewives.
Right.
That are just sick and tired of having these arguments with their husbands. And all I have to do is shoot him with this point of view gun. He's going to see my point of view. Yes, honey. I'm sorry. I was seeing this completely wrong. You are right on this topic.
That's awesome.
We need that technology,
John? I mean, beyond, like, you know, domestic disputes and squabbles, like, just how much of the world would be fixed if, like, you know, you could bring two world leaders that are about to go to war with each other together and, like, hey, zip, zip. All right, now you understand where each other's coming from? Great.
Okay, great.
Give each other a hug and let's get back to business, you know? Like, you're so right. That is awesome.
Sorry not to derail you on that.
No, but yeah, that's fantastic. All right. Well, that does it for us for our main conversation. Before we get to our special guest segment kind of here at the end, I want to, as always, thank our founding members, Elo, Epson, Honeywell, Star, and Zebra. We could not do this show without you. We thank you for your support. Hopefully you enjoyed this kind of silly little diversion for us. If you want to connect with us, first of all, please, if you haven't already and you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, just take a second while you're listening right now. Go to the app.
Give us a rating.
Yeah. Find our show. Yeah. Give us a 5-star rating. Leave a review if you'd like to. If you leave a review, we'd be happy to maybe read some of those on air.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's a great way that you can help us, you know, drive attendance or drive people to the show, make it pop up in the search. You know, the more ratings it's got, the more obviously people have been watching and downloading it, the more likely someone is to maybe come across this organically. And then finally, if you want to connect with us, if you have your own interesting takes on pop culture, you want to tell us about some piece of technology maybe we didn't talk about or something we should, you know, reference in the future, you can find us on Twitter at TechConnectPod, and you can always email us TechConnect@BlueStarInc.com. All right, well, we are going to wrap up today with a special version of What's Tech Connecting with You. And to do this, I wanted to try to, I reached out to some of our former guests and maybe some folks we've kind of referenced or have talked about that help us out with the show. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask them what their favorite piece of technology was in pop culture.
All right.
So we're going to turn over to and bring in a few special guests to talk about it here real quick. All right. First up, welcome back, Mike Stachura from LG. If you might remember, Mike was with us on Digital Signage 101.
Yes, sir.
Not too far back.
Yep.
Go back and review that episode. It was a good one.
It's a good one.
Mike, we're bringing you here. We're talking all about pop culture or technology in pop culture today. So I want to know from you, what is your favorite piece of technology from pop culture?
The travel that SpaceX is kind of presenting and talking about of actual like commercial thing, getting on a rocket as opposed to getting in a plane, and you can get anywhere in the world in about 30 minutes or less. Wake up in New York City, go do your work in Australia, and you're home in time for dinner. I think that is absolutely wild.
There you go.
A really cool plug for a friend of mine with the 311 Institute. A lot of that futuristic thinking. So a lot of new technology out there. And I think culturally, movies really twist our view of where technology is going to go. And we get this evil technology is going to come in and we end up with a Terminator, or all of our computers are hacked and we all have mindless drones walking around. But I think so much of what's actually going to happen in the future is not necessarily dystopian, but it's really using technology to better the lives of individuals. I think that's really exciting. Very cool. Traveling by rocket ship, that'd be awesome.
He's a glass half full kind of guy.
He really is.
Your optimism.
Yeah.
Because we talked a little bit about the downside of technology.
And how things can go
horribly wrong.
You are right.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it's better than we think it's actually going to be.
So like SpaceX, they're going to get us there in 30 minutes? This is happening? This is going on?
Check it out. It's been, you know, with all the tests, the flight tests they've done, the Falcon crew and all that, it is the future in a few years. Rocket travel and going from New York City to Australia, from Tokyo to London.
That's crazy.
That's real stuff that's happening. Yeah. Like just the most exciting thing ever.
Love it.
I don't know about you guys, but I mean, the 5-hour plane trips from the East Coast to the West Coast, even those are bad enough for me.
Yeah,
so
no thanks.
I don't even know what I do with only 30 minutes. Barely have time to pull your laptop out at that point.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you wouldn't have as much excuse in travel time. You'd be like, oh, well, I got there and then I had to like go to bed and, you know, go out for dinner and I'll take care of that tomorrow. Like, no, your boss is going to say like, no, you can get there and back today.
Today.
I expect you back in the office before the day is over. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm late. 2 minutes. My flight was delayed a little bit.
Well, John and I were riffing a little bit about the Star Trek technology of transporting, and I guess that hasn't, you know, we don't have that technology yet, but that would be the infinite
best
degree.
Thing.
The next best thing, I guess, is SpaceX getting you there in a half an hour.
Well, what was it, 2000, was it 17 or 18? They actually created the first standalone hologram. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like use of projectors and smoke where it's like a sort of a movie of somebody playing in three-dimensional space, but it was actually a living three-dimensional hologram.
You were telling me that we did it. Yeah.
We're there.
Yeah. So that's just wild. I mean, you start talking about creating, like you could replicate yourself in an avatar and then have all this AI populate who you are, but then use basically computer programming to teach your avatar new skills.
That's right.
Like, boom. I download the new Rosetta Stone and boom. Hablo Espanol, mi amigos.
Just like that. Boom.
I pulled that out from the high school days there. I still remember a little bit. Un poco. They have to add subtitles for this one.
That's right. Oh, that's awesome. We should have had just Mike on this entire podcast.
Yeah, clearly we should have.
Very much. Yeah.
Next time we riff on technology, Mike's in the game.
I heartily agree. So I have a feeling you have enough of the nerdy pop culture background to help us out there, too. So there you go.
I love it.
All right. Mike, thanks so much. We appreciate your input, and thanks for jumping back on the show with us again.
Hey, thanks so much, guys. Have a great rest of your day.
Take care. See you.
All right, next up, we have Sam Kalani joining us. We've referenced Sam a couple times on the pod.
Absolutely.
Sam is she's our writer extraordinaire. She's our social media guru, research assistant. She's helped me out more times than I can count with some of the topics we've dove into and helped me find some research and bullet points to talk about.
She's in general awesome. She does her own gardening too and is known for pickles. And what else did you yield this year? All kinds of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And don't get her talking about her dog. But other than that, we're good to go.
As far as the dog isn't on screen right now.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
Well, Sam, thank you so much for jumping on and joining us. We've been talking in pop culture, technology. So I wanted to ask you, what is your favorite piece of technology from pop culture?
Yeah, so I think the elephant in the room obviously was Back to the Future. I was like, yeah, that's, you know, all the cool things in Back to the Future too. Mm-hmm. So much was mentioned, but I feel like that's just the obvious. So I did a little research, and one that I feel like doesn't get mentioned enough or hardly at all is WALL-E, the animated Disney movie.
Okay.
Nice.
Which you know, was a cool movie to watch when I was younger because I love Disney. But now watching it as an adult, it's actually frightening. Like, like the concept of we could murder our planet like so hard that we have to be shipped up into space,
right,
to survive. It's terrifying. But, you know, there's two things there where, you know, they sent these little robots down to clean up the planet. And we're not there yet, hopefully, ever, really. But if you go to like Kroger ever, or sometimes in Whole Foods grocery stores, they have little clean up the aisle robots. And there's a famous robot who cleans up the aisles, and his name is Marty. And they actually put googly eyes on him, and he's super cute.
Nice.
And he's really tall, and he just cleans up spills. And like other random things that fall over or something that malfunctions. So yeah, we definitely don't have Wally yet, but they have grocery cleanup crew, which is like little robots. And so I thought that was cute. But also too, I think it's, you know, it's funny and also scary and also relatable, like how dependent we are on our devices. Mm-hmm. And if you like would see in Wally, the people that are like hovering around in their chairs, had just had their screens in front of them,
right?
Like, you know, turn off the lights in my house, or you know, FaceTime this person so I can chat with them, and they were just floating along beside them. Yep. But like today, like that's, I mean, I don't know, I can talk to my device and tell it to close my garage door or turn the lights off. So it's kind of realistic, but definitely not to that extremity. So I thought that was kind of like a cutesy little like favorite pop culture reference to like, hopefully we'll never be to that point when it comes to ruining our planet and having to live in space.
Right.
But yeah, so that's my little input.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I've rewatched that movie quite a bit. You know, I've got a toddler and, you know, shown him everything Pixar and Disney, you know, and that's one he's watched a few times over. Yeah. And it's one of those movies, every time I watch it, I find something, a little extra nugget I didn't pay attention to or notice before. But I do love that, you know, it's got a hopeful message in the end. You know, they do come back and, you know, work on fixing the earth and everything.
Right.
But I do find it fascinating that this idea that like when these people went to space, and you see early on like a commercial while he's like rolling by the ads that just pop up, and one of them is an ad for, hey, get on the ship and leave the planet and we'll clean it up for you while you're gone and come back in a few years. And you see like all the luxuries of what they're going to have on the ship. And you see all these like healthy, fit toned people, like, you know, playing volleyball and like, you know, exercising.
And that's not the case.
Having this fun together. Yeah. And then the reality, when you finally find that ship, is like, no, you did, they did exactly what humanity would do. You gave them all this technology where they didn't have to do anything but sit on their butts and stare at screens all day and play virtual golf and get everything delivered right to them, whatever. Of course, that was what was going to happen.
While the robots are cleaning up the crap back down the airport.
Of course. Like they, you know, that's a very pointed story. You're right. There's definitely a big message about like not destroying our planet, but there's also a message about just how lazy we all can easily get when we rely on technology.
Yeah. So. Wally's believable. Wasn't there, what did they call the wall? The white wall, the futuristic Wally. Didn't that one like fly around? Eve.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
When he was coming to check the planet out and see if it was ready for him to come back. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, that, you know, that's maybe a little stretch. Again, it's what we talked about, being able to hover and stuff like that. I guess we don't have that technology. But Wally's here. You know, we could have a little Wally. Roomba.
Let's just hope the rest of it doesn't come true.
Exactly. Right. Well, yeah. Good one, Sam.
Exactly. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much, Sam. We appreciate you jumping on and chatting with us about this.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, next up we have James Cordy, Digital Marketing Manager here at Blue Star. James was on our very first episode.
Yes.
He's been on a couple different marketing episodes.
Absolutely.
He was on our cannabis episode. He's one of our recurring guests. I guarantee we'll see more of him in the future.
You think?
Well, I mean, I'm hoping so. He's a good guest.
So.
Hey, it's
first
my podcast.
Time is a remote guest.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Well, thanks so much, James, for joining us again. We've been talking about technology and pop culture, and I want to ask you, what is your favorite piece of technology from pop culture?
So I'm hoping no one else already gave this answer because I've been giving this some thought. I'm going to go with the touch screens used on the media broadcast from election night. I mean, I am a sucker for data visualizations in any form, but I think you know, those are so neat. And the fact that they can kind of zoom in to different counties and different areas and add that context, kind of the demographic context, to help you understand, you know, why one area might be leaning one way or the other. And then obviously there's a channel play, right? That our part, it's probably one of our partners' touchscreens they're using.
Yeah. Right. That's awesome. We did talk about how, you know, touchscreen technology in Star Trek, how you see it there.
Right.
And it
was, right.
This seemed like such far off technology back in whatever.
That's almost more Minority Report stuff that they're getting to.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah.
Man.
Well, the other thing that I like about what the TV stations are doing is how they can put in real time, in a real life environment, the graphics. And I know you know what I'm talking about, Cordy, where they can like the person standing there and whoop, a graphic comes up like it's right there next to them, as if it's part of the room that they're
right,
in.
Right.
Yeah. That kind
I remember
of stuff.
During one of the hurricanes, or maybe when we had some super bad storm season that came with a lot of floods.
Yes.
CNN introduced that kind of like virtual room where like you could see someone standing like in a street as it was flooding around them or whatever.
Right.
And, like, you know, to give you an example of how that all.
Oh, and then they dialed it up. Like, here's the wind speed at 40 miles an hour, just a little bit. You know, here's it at 60 miles an hour. Okay. And now here's 130 miles an hour.
I thought that stuff was cool. But, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that, because like we've been focusing a lot on like fictional pop culture of like, you know, movies and television, science fiction stuff. But you're right. Like, there's a pop culture that exists around media that we exist in every day. And definitely, let's be honest, the, you know, election and like election night or whatever is a cultural event that we all sit around and stare at our TV screens for hours and watch results come in.
I don't.
If you're someone that wants to do
for days in this case, right? It's usually days. Just a few hours one night.
If you want to subject yourself to that,
there you
can,
go.
Right.
Yeah.
But you're right. There was a time when I just didn't care. I did my voting.
I mean, I care, but I'm not going to sit there and watch it anyway.
I didn't watch all the results. But like, I've noticed over the last four or five elections that I've actually paid attention. Mm. You're right. I've seen that technology change so much. So now like it's so cool watching these guys that are just moving, manipulating stuff around and using technology that like feels like it's futuristic, but like, no, that's legit. Like, that's a real thing. You know?
That's
it would be interesting to see what the data is feeding into it. I mean, obviously we know what the information is, but like where it's coming from, how often it's getting updated, and you know, I wonder what the software piece is or what the connection piece is. But yeah, like I said, I've always been a sucker for data visualization. So to see that on such a large scale, but then also be able to zoom into it, you know, at a really small level, like, oh, that's my county. You know, it's pretty cool. Really cool.
And it was flawlessly executed. You know, I'm always that guy. It's like, oh my God, this is really cool technology, but I'm just waiting for it to hiccup or something like that. I didn't see any of that. It was pretty flawless. Yeah, right. Exactly.
So I think what we've determined here is Cordy's going to make sure one of these devices is in our office someday.
Okay.
I can see it now. We're going to have like our campaigns up there or whatever. We're going to be able to like, you know, map everything out. Be around like, all right, we're going to do this in LinkedIn, and we're going to move that over here, and we're going to do a podcast about this.
Hold on. Drill into this one lead. Let's see what that one was about.
Exactly. I like it.
Bingo.
All right, James, thank you so much. We appreciate having you back on again. Thanks for jumping on to answer our question.
Thanks for having me, guys. Talk to you later.
See ya.
All right. Well, a big thanks to our guests that jumped on and threw out their answers to that question. But hey, we need to go around the horn in here. And I actually want to start with Mark Ryan, who we've probably never heard on the show before, maybe once or twice. I don't know. But, you know, he's the man behind the curtain here. He runs the boards for us. He makes sure we all sound good, look good. Mm-hmm. He's our producer extraordinaire. And we call him Marco. Marco, I want to hear from you. What is your favorite piece of technology in pop culture?
So I think my favorite piece is going to be from The Matrix.
Ooh, okay.
Literally plugging
In the back of your head.
Not necessarily shoving a giant needle in the back of my head, maybe, but the idea of plugging into the internet physically.
Right, right.
And like being able to just enter this entire virtual world.
Right. Preferably without the robot overlords that are making us do it against our will.
Yeah. I mean,
minus that part.
Although I don't know, like a lot of people clearly in The Matrix were like, hey, this is pretty sweet. Why would I want to give this up for the nightmare that is the real world outside of this?
Yeah, just put me back in The Matrix, please.
I guess that's why it worked, because, you know, very few people actually were willing to deal with the, you know, not being part of it anymore.
Yeah. Well, so that might be closer to the Elon Musk Neuralink, you're right?
True.
Plugging in and then being able to whatever.
But man, you want to talk about, again, something else that I feel like has some potentially terrible ramifications. You know, Sam was just talking about the whole WALL-E thing. Like,
right.
Can you imagine how, like, like how lazy, there's people that are gamers that we know that, like, you know, mm-hmm. like, and I guarantee everybody knows someone in their life mm-hmm. that can sit in front of a yep. screen and play a game for like 20, Marco's actually raising his hand, can play games for hours and hours and hours on end without moving, without interacting with other people.
Right.
I can only imagine if we were able to just directly plug into the internet, we'd all like, we would become like enslaved to somebody at some point soon because...
Yeah.
We'd just be all plugged in. So I could just come along and be like, all right, well.
Is that where you want to go, Marco? Do you want to be like the Tron where like you're in it and, oh, and you're,
yeah.
oh, okay.
Yeah.
You want to have superpowers in that world.
Yeah,
and
definitely,
okay.
for sure.
There yeah. you go. And it's not the physical world that you're in. You're just plugging into that world.
Yeah. Fair there enough. There's an interesting episode of Black Mirror, since I referenced that earlier. Again, mm-hmm. this is another show I highly recommend if you want to, a deep dive into cool technology and where it could go and how bad it could get. Is there's an episode about these two guys who start playing a video game that does let you do it. Like you put a little thing to your head and basically mm-hmm. like you just kind of like pass out and you get suddenly immersed in the game and you are living inside of the game. And there's an interesting story that revolves around that of like, mm-hmm. you know, what the life that they live inside of that game.
So, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. So interesting stuff. All right. Well, you know, before Dean, before I ask you and give mine also, Terry Miller from ShipTrack was somebody we were hoping to
yeah,
have on
right.
to give his
good old
response
Terry.
As
yep.
well. Mm-hmm. He was on our last mile delivery episode not too long ago.
Yep.
He couldn't make it, but he did actually tell me his two of his choices for favorite pop culture tech. One was the Neuralizer from Men in Black.
Yep.
Where, you know, when they yep. saw Boink. Something they shouldn't show, see, you know, you flash something in the eyes and they forget all about it. And the other was the Transporter from Star Trek, which obviously we've talked about.
Right.
But it's something interesting he mentioned, which we didn't really get into too much. We've kind of talked about the dangers of stuff, but like he kind of talked about the potential ramifications of both of those technologies and mentioned like there's a mm-hmm. lot of questionable ethics around this. Like obviously the Neuralizer mm-hmm. is a simple one. Like,
right.
you know,
I can
someone,
swipe what you just
yeah,
saw.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, you know,
actually in the movie, I think there was some, you know, some of that
yeah,
around it.
Yeah.
Know? Oh, we're just wiping their, you know,
right.
memories.
Like,
yeah.
is that ethical?
Is that
know,
ethical? Right.
Know,
yeah.
Even
yeah.
if it's for the better good, is that ethical? Right.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, the Transporter's one too, because this is something where I've seen some stuff about, like, as much as there's also like the physics of Trek type stuff in mm-hmm. books out there, there's a lot of stuff about the philosophy of Star Trek and Star Wars. And one of the concepts that I've heard come up around Star Trek is the idea of a transporter is that it's dematerializing you and rematerializing you.
Right.
And there's a question about that is, are you actually being killed when that happens?
Ah.
Is that process of dematerializing you and then sending you somewhere and putting you back together, aren't you kind of being cloned in a way? Aren't you actually being destroyed and murdered and then reconstituted?
See how deep
a clone?
This stuff gets? Wow, yeah.
So there's some serious like ethical questions about that. Like is that, you know, like, you know, and what does that mean to a soul or whatever, you know, or whatever your
right.
your
yes,
religious
exactly.
beliefs might be like,
yes.
you know, like there's,
yeah. Oh, no, I get it.
I imagine
that's exactly where I went in my mind. I'm yeah. like, well, okay, well, what happens to your soul?
Exactly. Right. If you, yeah. there was always a running gag in Star Trek that like Bones didn't want to be transported because he hated, like, you know, this man who's flying around in a spaceship hated technology and like, you know, was, you know, always
the curmudgeon
wary
guy,
of it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I could see there being a lot of people who would look at something like that and say like, I don't want to do that regardless of how safe it is.
Right.
I like it
ethically
makes,
don't agree
like
with
it makes me question reality itself yeah. and what I understand about the
totally.
Nature of the world
yeah.
to be literally taken apart and put back together. Am I still, is it still the same person that comes out the other side?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you think you're the same person, are you the same person?
See, that's what a consciousness brings to into
it
the
does.
Fold in the human consciousness. That's just fascinating stuff in the wormholes that you can go into just thinking about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Exactly.
So. Who's in there? Are there books written
oh,
on
yeah.
the ethics of
There's
Star Trek now?
Yes. Yep.
Good Lord, I need to start writing.
Star Trek, like
some
Star
books.
Trek and Star Wars, like obviously two of the biggest science fiction franchises
yeah.
in history.
Yeah.
There are so many books that dive into just so many random facts. I mean, you can find like books about leadership on Star Trek. You know, there is literally a book called Make It So. You know, it has Picard on the cover or whatever.
Okay.
It's about, you know,
right?
which we
yeah.
can learn about leadership from you know,
from Star Trek.
From Star Trek. Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah. There's no end. People
There's
will
just no
come
end.
Up with.
Yeah. yeah.
All right, exactly. Dean, what is your favorite piece of technology pop culture?
All right.
Pop culture?
So I'm thinking pop culture, like popular culture today. So I'm thinking to myself, music. I'm going to
okay.
go down a music path and an audio path.
Okay.
My favorite piece of technology is sampling.
Okay.
So sampling audio that, you know, again, that's just the audiophile in me. And I can remember back in the day when sampling just started mm-hmm. and the ability to record something, digitize it, manipulate it, layer it,
right,
put it into music. I mean, it is ubiquitous now, but there was a point in time when that was like, what?
Yeah.
You know, and what, of course, my favorite drummer growing up, Neil Peart, was known for sampling sounds because he had this electronic drum set. You know, he had the acoustic set, of course, but then his whole set would rotate around for an electronic set. And part of the sounds that he had on his drum set were sounds that he made, that
right,
he sampled. You know, like he would make a drum sound of what he thought a drum should sound like. He sampled it,
right,
put it into
right,
his drum set, made its way into music. So that is pretty cool, right?
That is
That's
awesome.
Using technology, and it influences. It's a part of our culture now. You know, sampling can sometimes be used very badly. Sometimes,
because yes,
there's been some songs that have been oversampled, and it's like, no, that was never the intent of using that piece or
right,
the way that melody was constructed or whatnot. But yeah, thanks for killing.
Why
that.
Did what is it called? Old Town Road, that popped into my head.
What's
like,
that?
That Nas X, Little Nas X song with Billy Ray Cyrus.
Oh no, yeah,
that's got a lot
know,
of like sampling. To it. Like, I was a huge popular hit song, but it was one of the ones I'm like, did we need to do this?
I like when sampling is used for good to create, you know, like whatever sounds or
right,
instrumentations that are a good use of the technology,
yeah,
rather than robbing somebody and sampling it and putting into
right,
a song.
No,
whatever,
I agree. But I think that's super cool. And yeah, it also reminded me when you were talking about like, you know, the drum thing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking about that sampling aspect of stuff, and I completely lost my train of thought on that.
Well, so sampling's used a lot
right,
in today's
right,
music. I mean, it's not just in the instrumentation, but obviously in vocals and then using melodies and stuff like that. But I'm telling you, there was a time when that was like really revolutionary. And
yeah,
I can just remember sitting around layering audio files on my computer and just creating sounds from sampled things. It's cool. It's cool.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. Jeez, I don't know why that completely flew in my head. I saw an artist named Andrew Bird. I don't know if you've ever heard of him in concert. Kind of a folksy singer-songwriter alternative type guy.
Uh-huh.
This has been some years back. I saw him in concert one night, and like it was just him.
Mm-hmm.
And he would self-sample as the kind of what I think what you were talking about
mm-hmm,
with your
parent mm-hmm,
does, like as the show was going on. So he would start playing a little ditty on a guitar
okay,
or a banjo or something like that.
Yeah.
He would be sampling that. Like so he had his whole system of like pedals and like, you know, a board and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He'd sample some of that, start playing that on a loop, switch over to another instrument, start playing something else. And he would do that with like five or six instruments until he had this like layered beat going on. And then he would start his song. Like he'd play guitar, you know, to create the melody and start singing his song like with all this stuff going on in the background.
How
and
cool,
it was fascinating just watching him do it.
Right.
And it was something like, you know, even though like you were basically watching almost like a studio session happening live.
Right.
It was still just cool watching it happen as it step by step. And like each little beat, you know, was each little melody was a
that's
little bit
pretty
different,
cool.
It was a fun, cool.
Put that in the show notes because when I need to click on that.
I can probably find a video somewhere of him
fair
doing
enough,
that. Yeah.
All right.
So,
all right. Well, cool. So what's your technology?
You know, the one that popped into my head, it was interesting. I was trying to think of like something like that modern day, you know, that is just a cool piece of pop culture. And it really, I couldn't think of much there because I think I was very immersed in actual, you know, television film stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But something I didn't reference when we talked about Star Trek was the holodeck.
Okay.
From The Next Generation is when that came to be. Like it wasn't in the original series, but it was, you know, something they brought out in The Next Generation, which is the idea of being able to walk into a room and have a completely constructed world, a virtual world built around you. Not just that you can walk through and view and see stuff, but one you could even interact with,
yeah.
Like it would create like, you know, solid projections of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you could actually, you know, go on an adventure in there, or, you know, you could actually meet historical figures. You could fight in a battle or something. It was a storytelling device that they use as a bit of a crutch sometimes because you could have an episode where the safeties were turned off or something and suddenly it was actually
it went
deadly.
Wrong.
Yeah,
yes.
Like
yeah.
You actually could get shot or something, you know, like that. Or, you know, that Klingon could actually take a bat left through your head or something, you know, and actually kill you. So like there was stuff like that they used a lot of times as plot devices, but I've always looked at that technology and be like, man, like VR is so cool. And we have come so far.
Right.
I have to think somewhere in the future we get to like that place where we can at least have that like immersive room experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that we'll ever get to the point where you can actually like interact with these, you know, these projections.
Physically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where
right,
like, you know, you could actually touch somebody.
Yeah.
And what's interesting
maybe,
is Trek did actually, there was some points in The Next Generation where they did explore the concept of like holodeck addiction. So there was a crew member who at one point started spending a lot of time in there.
Yep.
And was fantasizing like about romance with some of the crew members or fighting his bosses or whatever, you know, and like, you know, like that people got addicted to that. And that was the thing. I was like, that's very realistic because, you know, it's again, it's like going down that gamer route of getting too addicted and too immersed in something over time. So
And spoils it for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Dang, so interesting piece of technology, not one that I think we're super close to, if ever, and maybe one we might not want to really explore because it could have some bad consequences.
Fair enough. Yeah. So true.
All right. Well, listen, that does it for us. This has been a very fun conversation. Like I said, we're kicking off at the end of the year here, three kind of fun, lighthearted episodes.
Yep.
This was our first one. Next week, we have a very special one. We are going to talk all about Star Wars.
Yes. Yes. It doesn't get much more fun than that.
A whole hour plus, probably, I know us, of just talking about all things Star Wars. We're going to rank some of our favorite movies.
Yep.
We are going to talk some about some of the technology.
I was about to say, we're going to talk
favorite
tech in
characters,
there.
What works and what doesn't work. So if you're anyway a fan of Star Wars, obviously come back. And even if you're not, you know, we'll have some fun little just discourse about like, what it means for pop culture there as well.
Yeah.
So highly recommend that.
It'll be a good one.
All right. But hey, it is time for us to unplug. So until next time, please stay connected. The Tech Connect podcast is brought to you by Elo. Enhance patient care everywhere it matters. Elo offers touchscreen product solutions for a variety of healthcare applications, ranging from nurse stations and patient education to patient check-in and pharmacy check-out. Streamline healthcare administration and enhance the patient experience with Elo's versatile solutions. To learn more, visit Elo's microsite on bluestarinc.com or contact your Blue Star account manager. There are more scanner options on the market than ever, so choosing the right one for your solutions and your customers' needs can seem daunting. Factors like industry, environment, barcode type, and mobility must all be considered. Zebra wants to make it easier, and they've built an online tool to help. The Zebra Scan Selector tool asks a handful of simple questions about where and how a scanner will be used before providing recommendations down to the part number. To use the tool, check out the link in the show notes or visit zebra.com. Keeping workers and managers connected and providing them with the data and functionality they need when they need it is crucial to every business. To enable this, you need mobile devices that not only fit your workflow, but also your workforce. Designed for rapid user adoption, minimized TCO, and optimized device management, Honeywell's RT10 Rugged Tablet is an ideal device for the daily workflow of supervisors, shop floor employees, managers, and maintenance workers. With its 10.1-inch bright, high-resolution, optically bonded display and a light yet durable form factor, the Honeywell RT10A Rugged Tablet is easy to use all day long, making it perfect for rapid user adoption. To learn more, contact your Blue Star representative or visit Honeywell's page on BlueStarInc.com.